Next on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
God created us in His image. So when I ask the question, why did you create me? And God says, don't think for a minute you are an infinitesimal irrelevance. You're not. You're created in my image, in my likeness, a little lower than God. What He's saying is, I am a God of relationships, and I created you for relatedness. I created you for relatedness to the God from whom you come, through whom you live, and to whom you go. And I created you for relatedness to the other human beings whom God has created.
God cares so deeply for you. And you have been created for far more than you may think. Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe continues his message, Why Did You Make Me, God? And shares how you were created for greater things than you might think. He's coming up in just a moment, but first, do you ever feel yourself working overtime to earn someone's love? Maybe you changed your appearance or your personality in pursuit of acceptance. It's a common struggle we all face from time to time, but there's good news. God loves you exactly as you are. We want to help you grasp God's immeasurable love for you by sending you a copy of Pete Briscoe's 6-message series, How Much I'm Loved. It's our way to thank you for your support today to help keep Telling the Truth on air and online so more people can experience abundant life in Christ. So call today and request your copy of How Much I'm Loved when you give. The number 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now let's hear from Stuart with today's message from his series, Who Are You, God?
Out of the mouths of children and infants have you ordained praise. I'll tell you something. Some of those brilliant minds in the world who are working hard to see that if we come to the pinnacle of our rationality, we might figure out the mind of God. Some of the most brilliant minds in the world are brought to silence by the simple faith of a child who believes God's self-revelation. That child has something that will help him when he's thrown into the deep water or when he's on the dark on his own. I promise you something. Some of the greatest minds in our world find themselves floundering in deep water and scared of the dark, and they've nowhere to turn. Who is God? We've answered that question very briefly. Now the second question that comes out of that quite naturally, well, all right, God, if you're the maker of heaven and earth, if you have created all things, why in the world did you make me? That's an important question. If you are the creator of all things, and I'm one of them, why in the world did you create me? Well, this is the question the psalmist raises, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Let me interject here. When it uses man here, it's the generic. It is talking about humanity. Why did you make humanity? Why did you make sons and daughters of men? And why in the world are you interested in them? Why do you care for them? And why are you mindful of them? Why is he thinking like this? The reason is he's been sitting out on a hillside in Bethlehem, away from the city lights, on his own, and he has nothing to do because the sheep are asleep. He has nothing to do but play quietly on his harp and gaze up into the firmament. And as he looks into the firmament, the stars are there like diamonds on black velvet. They're hanging there like ripe fruit because, you see, away from the city lights, away from modern electricity, you really see the glory of the heavens. This happened to me once. It's happened to me a number of times, but once I particularly remember in the northern deserts of Kenya, right on the Ethiopian border. There were a number of us there for a conference. They didn't have anywhere to house us, and so they gave us camp beds and sleeping bags and said, you've got a whole desert there, just make yourselves at home, but just look out for scorpions and snakes. And so I didn't sleep much that night, but it didn't matter, because there was the firmament like black velvet. And there, unhindered by modern electricity and the lights of a major city, it seemed that the stars were like diamonds on the velvet, like ripe fruit hanging, waiting to be picked. And I lay there and I thought, oh Lord, our Lord, How majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have made, what in the world? What in the world am I? In the vastness of your universe. I've been reading the Scientific American this week, and I've been reading the whole section on cosmology. And the more the cosmologists look into the whole area of the cosmos, the more they are discovering things that are bewildering them. And I don't have time to give you some information that I've gleaned this week about it, but I'll promise you, the more that the cosmologists are looking into the cosmos, the more bewildered they are by the immensity of the whole thing. But I want you to notice something that the psalmist puts in here that is very, very important. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the universe is vast. It is beyond our comprehension, and it is simply finger work for God. You know, just neat little finger work for God. It's not big time. He doesn't have to get his hands on it. He doesn't need to get his arms on it. It's just finger work. So if you find yourself overawed by the immensity of the universe, hey, you haven't even begun. For the universe is to me totally overwhelming, but the thought of the God behind the universe is so vast that the universe is like finger work for him. Now I see myself in perspective and I say, what is man? I am so infinitesimal, I am coming to the conclusion I am a fundamental irrelevance. Particularly when I read that my body is composed of 58 pounds of oxygen, 2 ounces of salt, 50 quarts of water, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 ounces of carbon, a dash of chlorine, some phosphorus, too much fat, some iron, sulfur, and glycerine, and that's me. That's me. You can go to a drugstore and get enough to make me. And who in the world would want to do that? And I look at the immensity of the universe, and I look at the immensity of the God behind the universe, and I say to myself, I'm infinitesimal, and I'm a fundamental irrelevant. Why did you make me God? And then I read on in the psalm, and I get the shock of my life. This is what he says. In answer to the question, why are you mindful of him and the Son of Man you care for? Here's the answer. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor. What a surprising answer. Here he is sitting in the immensity of the whole situation and thinking, I'm irrelevant, I am infinitesimal, and God's revelation of himself and his purposes says, no, you're not. No, you're not an infinitesimal irrelevance. I'll tell you what you are. You were made by me. And you were made by me just a little lower than the heavenly beings. And here's a bigger shock for you. The actual word here is, you were made by me and you were made just a little lower than God. And you were crowned with glory and honor. You say, me? And God says, yeah. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. For you have revealed in creation and in your word and in your name the wonders of your purpose and the wonders of your person. And part of the wonder of your purpose is that you have created men and women just a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, you need to look into Genesis chapter 1. We don't have time. You just have to take my word for it. One of the things that we learn from God who cares for us and is mindful of us is that he is a caring, mindful God, which shouldn't surprise us because we know that God is a Trinity. God is a Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the mystery of the Godhead is seen in the relationship. of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the relatedness of the three. Now, this is what the Bible says. God created us in his image. So when I ask the question, why did you create me? And God says, don't think for a minute you are an infinitesimal irrelevance. You're not. You're created in my image, in my likeness, a little lower than God. What he's saying is, I am a God of relationships, and I created you for relatedness. I created you for relatedness to the God from whom you come, through whom you live, and to whom you go. And I created you for relatedness to the other human beings whom God has created. Or if you like, he created me to love God with all my heart and my neighbor as myself. Or if you like, he created me to be a person of relationships on a horizontal basis and on a vertical basis. And that's why he made me. That my knowledge of God, my intimacy with God, my experience of God might spill over into my intimacy and experience of people. It is out of my love of God that I begin to discover what it means to love my neighbor as myself. Why did you make me God? And there's part of the answer. I made you for relatedness. I'm a God who cares. I'm a God who is mindful. I've made you in my image. Now you get out there and care. You get out there and be mindful. Care about God and care about people. Be mindful of God and be mindful of people. That's how I made you.
You're listening to Stuart Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. He's coming right back, but before he does, it's easier than ever to listen, read, watch, download, and share messages from the Briscoes when you go online to tellingthetruth.org. Go deeper with relevant Bible teaching to help you know Christ and experience life in all of its fullness. And remember, you can also give online at tellingthetruth.org. Your gifts will help the Briscoes continue sharing God's word on air and online. Again, that's tellingthetruth.org, tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with more from today's message.
But if you read on in Genesis chapter 1, you read this, that God not only created us for relatedness, he created us for responsibility too. The responsibility for which he created us was this, that he created man, male and female, in order that they might become regents of the world that he had created. Or as Psalm 8 puts it, you have made him the ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. So I said, God, why did you make me? And he said, I made you for relatedness and I made you for responsibility. I made you for responsibility. I put you in the universe. I made you part of the universe. I made you to a very large extent dependent on the universe, but I made you different from the universe, and I put you uniquely in the universe. We're part of it, we're dependent on it, we're different from it, and we're uniquely situated in it. In what capacity? As regents, as representatives of the Creator. Think of it. Why did you make me? He said, I'll tell you why I made you. I made you capable of relationships on the vertical and the horizontal plane, and I have made you responsible. I've made you responsible regents. I've made you responsible representatives of the Creator and upholder of all things. Now get out into that universe, and wherever you see anything that needs my representation, be my representative. And wherever you see anything in this universe that needs my regency, be my regent. Wherever you see anything in this universe that requires my rule to be established, be the one that I have ordained for that task. Can you imagine why anybody would ever sit in a coffee shop and say, I'm bored? When there's a whole mystery of God to relate to and a whole world full of people to relate to and a whole universe of wonder, and he's made me responsible as his representative in it. Not only that, very often we talk about human beings being creative, and I understand why we say that, and we're encouraging creativity all the time. And I think this is the wrong word to use. I'll tell you why. Only God creates. When God has created, he puts human beings in his creation to cultivate. He is the creator. We are the cultivators. Interestingly enough, the word culture is related to the word for cultivate. Culture is that which man makes of nature which God created. Because man is made in the image of God, man, male and female, is made in the image of God, very, very often the culture that we cultivate out of what God has created is inexpressibly beautiful. The music that we can make sometimes is inexpressibly beautiful. It can touch us at the deepest part of our hearts like nothing else can. And sometimes, because man is made in the image of God, he produces in our culture something inexpressibly beautiful. And because he is fallen, he produces something inexpressibly ugly. And that's why you'll see music of every kind in our culture at this time. And some of it is a reflection of the image of God, and some of it is expressive of the utter abject fallenness. We didn't create it. We cultivated what he created. And sometimes we need to hang our heads. We think of the wonders of language. We think of the things that we can do. We think of some of the great writings, the stirring, noble speeches. We think of the magnificent poetry that has thrilled our hearts. And then we think of the scatology. We think of the things that are going out on the CDs and the radios, and we say, oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Look what we have cultivated with that which you have created. Who are you, God? He said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the Lord, your Lord. And my name is majestic in all the earth and above the heavens, and those who have eyes to see will see it. I'm reminded of Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem, Earth Crammed with Heaven. And every common bush aflame with God. Those who see it take off their shoes and worship. The rest sit round plucking blackberries and daub their natural faces. Have you seen that? Interestingly enough, if you turn into the New Testament, you'll find that Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, and the writer to the Hebrews in the second chapter takes Psalm 8 and gives it a different twist and shows it now to be a messianic psalm. In other words, speaking about the Lord Jesus. And this is what the writers say. They say that the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, was made for a little while lower than the angels. That's talking about his incarnation. For the suffering of death. In other words, they're saying, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, because you sent your Son for a little while lower than the angels in his incarnation in order that he might suffer death, and through his death he might reconcile us to God and bring many sons to glory. 1 Corinthians 15 says, you have put all things under his feet. But Paul says, right now we don't see everything under his feet, but the day will come when everything will be put under his feet and Christ will be seen to be Lord of all. Now put all that together. And I'm going to have to do this breathlessly in 2 minutes. Put all that together. And here's the picture. I was created, I'm fallen. The Son of Man comes a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Because he dies on the cross, my fallenness can be dealt with, my sin can be forgiven, I can be reconciled to God, and he can begin to change me from the inside out so that I become more and more like what I'm supposed to be as a human being, on the understanding that one day he will come and take me to glory. And when he does that, guess what? I will see him, and I'll be like him, and I'll be restored to my full humanity. You see, to understand Christian theology, you have to understand four words: creation, fall, redemption, and glory. I'm created in the image of God. I'm fallen. Through Christ, I can be redeemed. And the work of redemption is working relentlessly and inexorably towards the day when I will be taken to glory and I'll be fully restored to my humanity. And those who see this take off their shoes and worship. The rest, they sit around and pluck blackberries and daub their natural faces.
This is Telling the Truth, and you're listening to Stuart Briscoe's message, Why Did You Make Me, God? Stuart's coming back shortly to answer questions about today's message. But before we dive into that conversation, when you support Telling the Truth, you make it possible for people all over to hear God's word and experience life in Christ. In fact, you're helping people just like Dwight, who wrote in and told us, My spirit has been well fed and touched in the midst of enduring a very long season of a broken heart and a sadly troubled marriage. Every program has been awesome. Jesus is our only hope in all trials, and hearing Jesus' teachings is priceless. Thank you to everyone at Telling the Truth. Thanks for sharing, Dwight. And right now, when you give to help people like Dwight experience life in Christ, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Pete Briscoe's brand new series, How Much I'm Loved. This 6-message series will leave you overwhelmed by God's love and transform how you view God, yourself, and others. So make sure to request your copy of How Much I'm Loved when you call and give a gift today. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or go online and give at tellingthetruth.org. Again, that's online, tellingthetruth.org. Friday is the last day to request the series How Much I'm Loved through the broadcast, so call or go online today. Now, here's Stuart to answer an important question about today's message. Stuart, how should the idea that God created a person for a specific purpose for him change how we do life here on earth?
Some time ago, I met a young man in a coffee bar in England. We had a long conversation. And during the course of the conversation, I asked him what the purpose of life was. And he said, well, why does it have to have a purpose? And so we got into a long discussion about this. And in the end, he said the reason he was alive was simply he was born and hasn't died. So I asked about his birth, and he agreed with me he had nothing to do with it. And I asked him about what he knew about his death, and he said he didn't know anything about it and didn't propose having anything to do with it. And suddenly he looked at me and he said, if I'm alive because I was born and haven't died, and I have absolutely nothing to do with either of them, then my coming into this world was purely an accident outside my control, and my going out of this world is going to be an accident completely out of my control. So I guess what I am is an accident suspended between accidents. Now think about that. I'm an accident suspended between accidents. And I said to him, you know, I don't believe that. And so I then got into an explanation about God being a creator, God being an intelligent creator, God being a loving creator. And he had created us in order that we could relate to him, and in relating to him, respond to him. And in our response to him, we could be all part of a glorious creation, but designed by the Creator to bring glory to the created one. The one who is God, the originator, the controller, the sustainer of all things. I would say that we have two alternatives. We have the alternative to say, I believe that God is, and that he created me, and he created me for an intelligent purpose, and he is willing to reveal to me what that intelligent purpose is. That's one option. The other option is this: I believe I'm fundamentally an accident. I will live down here without any specific goal in mind except something I can dream up for myself until the accident of my death. I'm an accident suspended between accidents. I opt for the fact that I was created by an intentional God, and I rejoice in living for him.
Thanks, Stuart. Before today's broadcast ends, here's one final reminder. When you give to help Telling the Truth share biblical truth on air and online, you make it possible for people all over the world to experience life in Christ. And to say thanks for your gift today, we'll send you a copy of Pete's 6-message series, How Much I'm Loved. It's our hope this brand new series helps you see yourself through God's eyes and rest in his unconditional love for you. Request your copy of How Much I'm Loved when you call and give a gift today. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. That's tellingthetruth.org. Friday will be the last day to get this series through this special broadcast offer. The number again, 1-800-889-5388. Tune back in tomorrow as Stuart continues his series, Who Are You, God? And helps you see why God's love for you will never fail. Come back and experience life Wednesday on Telling the Truth.